back tonight at 5:30, okay? We're going to have service at 5:30 this evening, and please be in your place for that. Lord willing, tonight we're going to start the book of Malachi. And so come be a part of that. I know it's Mother's Day, but come give the Lord another hour tonight, all right? We'll start at 5:30, you be in your place. And we have to be out at 6:30 because me and Charles and Eric's got to go to jail tonight, all right? And you laugh, but we are. And so we got to check Eric back in and make sure he gets in. And because he stole from Lowe's the other day and they finally caught up with him. So we got to check him in, all right? He literally did steal from Lowe's, but he didn't mean to, but he made it right, but we're still going to take him to jail just in case, okay? He's the only guy I know that, how many pieces were you trying to buy? 22, and they rang up 11? Yeah, so he had 22 boards, and they said, how many you got? He said, 11. So they rang up 11. Now, she wasn't brilliant enough to see there's a big difference between 11 boards and 22 boards. But he made it right. But still, we're going to take him to prison just to make sure everything's good. What's that? Oh, well, never. I'm going to leave it alone. He said, she thought I was crazy when I went back. But I'm going to, how many of y'all know the ball's right there on the tee? I could swing at it, but I'm going to let that one pass, all right? Luke chapter, it is Mother's Day, and I want to be nice to him, all right? Luke chapter 4. And verse number 16 this morning. Some of y'all ain't laughed all week. You needed that, all right? And he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And this is speaking of Christ, of course. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty to them, set liberty to them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." And they all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" And he said unto them, "Ye will surely say unto me this proverb, Physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country." And he said, "Verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when the great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elias sent, save to Sephrata, city of Sidon, and to a woman which was a widow. And many lepers that were in Israel in the time of Elisus, which is Elisha the prophet, none of them were cleansed, save in Naaman the Syrian. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath. And they rose up to thrust him out of the city and led him to the brow of the hill whereon the city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way." I want to preach from this text this morning a very unusual thought: getting rid of Jesus. You know, when we hear something, somebody saying they're trying to get rid of Jesus, we would think of the liquor drinking crowd or the wicked crowd of the world, those that hate God and hate the Bible and hate church. You would think that's the crowd that wants to get rid of Jesus. They don't mind you saying anything about God. They don't mind you talking about a higher power. But when you begin to talk about Jesus is when they have a problem. They won't let our high school graduates pray in Jesus' name at their graduation because that is offensive. They don't mind if a Muslim prays in the name of Allah or a Buddhist prays in the name of Buddha, but you can't mention the name of Jesus. So when we think about a crowd wanting to get rid of Jesus, that's who we think about. But in our text this morning, this is not a liquor-drinking crowd. This is not a God-denying crowd. This is a religious crowd. Jesus is in the synagogue, and we'll see it as we go through this text, but the synagogues were little break-offs, if you would, of the temple in Jerusalem. You understand, those Jews under the Mosaic law, they could not travel but so far on the Sabbath day. And so there would be little synagogues built in each community within a mile of people's homes. That way they could travel to the synagogues instead of having to travel all the way to Jerusalem on the Sabbath day. So this is a little church, if you would. This is a place of worship, if you would. This is a place where the Word of God is. We've just read about it. And these are people that are looking for the Messiah. They have religion. They know God. They are looking for the Christ to come. But this is the crowd that's wanting to get rid of Jesus. I'm afraid if we're not careful in our good Bible-believing churches here in the South, we have the Word of God. We have people that have a form of godliness. You look nice today. You've come to church, and I'm glad you're here, and I'm not scolding you. But I do not want to get to the point that these people got to where they run Jesus not just out of their church, but out of their city. In fact, verse number 29 says, and they rose up to thrust him out of the city. That means they rose up and they took hold of him. They're going to drag him out of the city. This is not just any town. This is his hometown. Notice a few things in the text this morning. Verse 16, I'm getting ahead of myself, but there is the territory that is mentioned. Now, what is this area that Jesus is in? What is this? What is this place? Who are these people that Jesus has made so upset? Well, first of all, in verse 16, there is the familiar city. The Bible said, and he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. Now, we understand that Jesus did not begin in Bethlehem. He has always been. But as far as the earthly sense, as far as his physical birth into this world, he was born in Bethlehem and he was raised in Nazareth. Nazareth was his hometown. Here in this text, the Lord has gone back to Nazareth, and he has just began what is called his Galilean ministry, which lasted between 12 to 18 months, a year and a half. And he is ministering here, and he goes back to his hometown, familiar city. But then notice his faithful custom. And his custom was he went unto the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. Now, I'm not trying to scold anybody this morning, but I will say this. If Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who did not sin, who could not sin, who would not sin, who did not have the capability to sin, he was still faithful to church. The Bible said it was his custom. That means it was his routine. That means it was something he did. It was something in his life. But you claim you're saved and you've got a sin nature within you. You struggle with the flesh, but you're not faithful to church. I'll put it this way. If the Lord saw it necessary, then you and I ought to make it a priority to be faithful to the house of God. Amen. Amen. The familiar city, the faithful custom. He has gone back to the synagogue. Notice verse 17, 18, and 19, not only the territory mentioned, but the text that was marked. Now, you got to understand this. In this custom, here's what they would do. When they would go to the synagogue, they would have the Old Testament. And they would read passages of that Old Testament in the synagogue. And what they would do when they got done with that particular reading, they would put a marker in that place. That way they could come back the next Sabbath day and pick up where they left off. Well, notice the place in verse number 17. And there was delivered to him the book of the prophet Isaiah. That's Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. That's the place. But here, and if you want to make a note of this, the place is Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1 and 2. Notice the place, but then notice the prophecy, verse number 18. Here's what Jesus read that day. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovery of sight to the blind, and has set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And in these verses are talking about, Isaiah is writing about the Messiah. He is prophesying about Jesus Christ. And I love this. It just so happened that that morning when Jesus walked into that synagogue and they handed him the book to read, it just so happened that the particular text that he read that morning was all about him. It just so happened that the verses he read that day were all about his ministry, all about his purpose, all about what he was going to do. That leads you to believe this. You can just mark your Bible. Hal Sautner said, when you read your Bible, look for Jesus. You'll find him on every page. And Jesus just so happened. I had to open up to Isaiah 61, and he began to describe to them just who he was. Watch what his ministry was. He had a preaching ministry. This text says, he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Verse 19, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. One thing we cannot forget about our Lord, he was a miracle worker. He was perfect. He was sinless. He was holy. But one thing we need to forget about him, he was a preacher. In fact, he was the greatest of all preachers. He preached, and I mean, he didn't have any filler words. He didn't say anything wrong. I mean, one fellow said he preached one time, and he had Jonah up the tree and Zacchaeus in the well. He just had it all met. Jesus didn't have that trouble. He didn't make no mistakes because everything he said was pure and inspired and holy of God. He had a preaching ministry, but then he had a people ministry. Look at these people in verse 61 that the Lord's ministering to. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. That's the beggars. And notice, and he sent me to heal the brokenhearted. If you got a broken heart, that's why he came. If you're poor, he came for you. Watch what the verse says, to preach deliverance to the captives. That's those who are in bondage. And recovering of sight to the blind, those that cannot see, and those that are bruised, and to set at liberty them that are bruised. You know what? That covers pretty much everybody in that verse. It don't matter if you're begging, blind, bruised, battered, or in bondage, or brokenhearted. I'm glad Jesus is right for whatever's wrong in your life. It don't matter what side of the tracks you come from. It don't know where you've been or what you've done. It don't matter none of that. I'm glad Jesus is the answer, and Jesus is still the hope, and Jesus is still the help. And Jesus stands in that synagogue that day, and he grabs that book and he begins to read about himself. That is the text that was marked. But then notice verses 20 through 22. Notice the tender mercy. There is the abruptness in verse 20. Now, he's reading. Now, I want you to do something real quick for me. I usually don't make you do this. I want you to find Isaiah 61. I want you to turn there real quick. Isaiah 61, it's right after Genesis. Well, it is. Amen. Isaiah 61, I want you to find that text this morning. And I want to show you something real special that our Lord did. There's the abruptness of this. Hold your finger in Luke 4. We are coming back. I ain't finished with Luke 4 yet. But I want you to see this in Isaiah 61. If you're there, say amen. All right, so look at Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel of good tidings to the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim that liberty to the captives, to opening a prison that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Now, in Luke 4, that's where it ends. To preach the acceptable year of the Lord, that's where it ends. But look at Isaiah 61, 2. Is that how the verse ends? Watch what the next verse says. And the day of vengeance of our God, and to comfort all that mourn. Jesus abruptly stopped in the middle of Isaiah 61, verse 2. He's talking about his Messiah ministry, and then all of a sudden, right there in the middle of it, Brother Clayton, he stops. You know what he did? The Bible said he closed the book. And then that's the abruptness. But then notice the announcement in verse 21. And he began to say to them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. What scripture? The fact that he came to heal the brokenhearted. The fact that he came to set the captive free. The fact that he came to open the blinded eyes. The fact that he came to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. But he stopped there. He's going to fulfill that part. But he's not fulfilling the day of vengeance. You know why? The day of vengeance is the tribulation period. to comfort all those that mourn, that's the millennial reign. So here's where this crowd, notice the amazement, verse 22, and they all bear witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is this not Joseph's son? Now go back to Luke 4, that's where we're going to spend the rest of our time. Can I ask you this? That's the amazement. They heard Jesus say that. They heard Jesus say, hey, you've been looking for prophecies to be fulfilled. I'm going to tell you right now, today, this one right here, Isaiah 61 verses 1 and verse 2a is going to be fulfilled. We're not fulfilling 2b yet. We're not doing that vengeance yet. Amen. I need some help right here. You picking up what I'm laying there? I have not come to judge yet. I have not come to condemn yet, but I have come to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. See, there's the abruptness and the announcement, the amazement, but here's the authority. Why did he close the book? Here's why. That vengeance is the tribulation period. That comfort all those that mourn, that's millennial reign. But there was a little thing that those Jews could not see in Isaiah 61 verse 2. They couldn't see that right between that acceptable year of the Lord and that day of vengeance, they couldn't see two major things. You know what they were? Calvary's atonement. They couldn't see the cross. They couldn't see the fact that their Messiah was going to go and die on the cross. They could not see that. But I'll tell you what else they couldn't see. They couldn't see the church age. They didn't see the church. It was a mystery hidden. It was something that God only revealed to Paul. They don't understand what's going on. Why did he stop in the middle of that verse? Why did he say this day is this scripture going to be fulfilled in your ear? I'm going to tell you why. Because Jesus looked down through the eons of time and he saw 270 Dunn's Mountain Church Road and he saw a group of believers gathered on the side of the road on a Sunday morning and he saw me and he saw you. And aren't you glad that he didn't leave us to ourselves? We were Gentile dogs on our way to hell, on the outside looking in. But I'm so glad that he looked beyond our faults and he saw our need. Amen. We can't see it in that little gap. Oh, we can't see it, but I'm glad he saw it. Them Jews couldn't comprehend it all. We know that Isaiah talked about that he'd be a light to lighten the Gentiles, but they couldn't figure all that out. But I'm so glad Jesus had a master plan. And somebody said, well, praise God, when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. Thank God for that. But honey, you was on his mind long before the cross ever came into view. Oh, but in eternity past, he was thinking about you and he was thinking about me. I echo the sentiments of David this morning. What is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou wouldest visit him? Thank God, that's tender mercy. He was thinking about me. And he was thinking about you. That is the text that was marked. Now, here's where things begin to turn in the story. Look at verse 23. The truth that was manifested. There's so much in these verses. Watch this in verse 23 and verse 24, notice the rejection. And he said unto them, ye will surely say unto me this proverb, physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country. And he said, verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. You know what Jesus does in this text, in this scripture? He reveals the true intentions of their heart. You know what they wanted from Jesus? Do a miracle. Do what we heard about what you did at Capernaum. We heard about that nobleman's son you healed that we looked at last Sunday morning. Y'all remember that? We want you to do that here. They have the same mentality. We don't want you. We want what you can do. And he revealed to him, no prophet has no honor in his own country. I've grown up here, and there's no honor. That word honor means valuable. You don't think I'm valuable because I grew up here. You know, there's a great danger in a church like ours of taking the Lord for granted. Taking the Lord's presence for granted because his presence has been manifested here so many times, and I thank God for that. But if we're not careful, we'll take it for granted and we will be guilty of this same crowd sin of not giving the Lord the valuable, precious worship that he deserves. They got used to him. He gives them some reminders in verse 25. But I tell you of a truth, many widows in Israel in the days of Elias, that's the New Testament spelling for Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when a great famine throughout the land, but there was none of them Elias sent, save to Sephora, city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. You know what he's referencing there? 1 Kings 17, that widow that had the barrel, remember that story? She only had a handful of meal and a little oil on the cruise. You know what she was? Brother Gene, she's a Gentile. Jesus said, I didn't send my preacher to a Jew. I sent him to a Gentile. Look at verse 27. And many lepers were in Israel in the times of Elisha. That's Elisha, the New Testament spelling for Elisha, the prophet. And none of them was cleansed save Naaman the Syrian. Remember the story of Naaman? How he was a leper and that little Jewish girl said, would to God that my Lord was in the land of Israel for the prophet could heal him. And he goes and Brother Johnny Morton preached that famous sermon years ago of his when Elisha told him to dip 7 times in the muddy river Jordan. Preacher Johnny preached on 7 ducks in a muddy pond. You know, 1, 2, you get it, okay. But my point is, and he had little ducks, he said, on the pulpit too. Great sermon. But here's my point this morning. Here's my point. That Naaman was a Gentile too. He gives 2 illustrations, Old Testament illustrations, of when God bypassed the Jew and went to a Gentile. He said, you've rejected me, so just because you've rejected me don't mean I'm going to stop. I'm going to go find somebody that will receive me. Is that not what John said in John 1? He came unto his own, being the Jew, and his own received him not. But to as many as would receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. I'm glad I'm one of those many, amen? He said, just because, now here's the application. Church, if we don't want Jesus here, he'll go find some church that does want him. Well, we're Safe Harbor Baptist Church. That don't mean anything. Well, our pastor is Josh Montgomery. That might be a strike against you. Thank you for not saying amen right there. Praise God. That's right, preacher. I agree with that. Like that lady, my dad's preaching one Sunday morning, and he's preaching away, and this lady sitting on the front row, she wasn't all there. And Dave was preaching, and I'm not making fun, but she wasn't as bad as what she let on, but she just got her mouth going before her brain most of the time. And Dave was preaching and was talking about fault finders in the church, how all but people come to church, and they're always looking for problems. And Dave's preaching, and he said, if you're looking for problems in this church and for faults in this church, you don't have to look no further than me, the pastor. And she went, amen, preacher, that's right. That he says sometimes it's not appropriate to say amen. It don't matter who we think we are. It don't matter about our buildings, our facilities, our properties. If we don't want Jesus, he'll just go on down the road and find somebody that does want him. We better stay Matthew 5, 6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Verse 28 and verse 29, there's the terrible mob. Oh, here's my Mother's Day part of the sermon about this terrible mob. None of these people would be here if they didn't have a mother. Okay. And so don't be a mother that raises a mob, okay? That's the application, moms. You do your best, okay? Look at this terrible mob, verse 28. Notice their indignation. Watch this. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath. You know why they were filled with wrath, Brother Travis? Because they thought they were something. Don't he know who we think we are? We are the chosen ones of Abraham's race. We're the ones that God selected and picked. How's he going to talk to us like that? Well, he's Jesus, so he can pretty much talk to you how he wants to. If we're not careful, we get lifted up in pride and arrogance, thinking we're something special. Oh, we are. God saved us. We're special because Jesus made a difference in our life. But I'm going to tell you, at the end of the day, we're nothing more than flesh. We're nothing more than carnality. And we can't even do anything without God's help. Their indignation. That word wrath means passion, angry, heat, boiling up. Notice their intentions, verse 29. And they rose up and thrust him out of the city. And they led him to the brow of the hill whereon a city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. Now, if I'm reading that correctly, they literally take the Lord by force. They thrust him out of the synagogue, and they're taking him to the hill. The city of Nazareth, John Philip said, the city of Nazareth was spread out along the eastern face of a mountain. One of its features was a perpendicular wall of rock some 40 or 50 feet high. And that was the spot they were going to throw Jesus off that mountain and kill him. Now, you and I reading that, we're like, whoa! This is the Son of God! What are you doing? But when we get lifted up in pride and we think it's about us and we make church about us and about our feelings and about what we want, about what we want said and what we want done, we're just as guilty of this mob. The sin of this mob was they thought too highly of themselves. Church, there's an application this morning. God has blessed our church so much. Can I get an amen out of that? God's been good to our church in spite of who your preacher is and in spite of who the members are. If God's done anything in this church, it's been in spite of all of us, not because of any of us. But if we're not careful, we'll look at last Sunday morning and say, wow, $7,000 raised for a Timothy conference with no more than about 30 pledges in? Man, ain't we something? Boy, no more than what we run, we're supporting 52 missionaries? Man, ain't we something great? No. 115 preachers coming here in August for a preacher's meeting? Look at us. No. If we get that attitude, we're just as bad as that mob that grabbed Jesus and thrust him out of their city. You know what they were saying? We don't need you. We don't want you. No, we don't need that. Last of all, verse 30, notice the trail made. We notice power. But he passing through the midst of them. They've got a hold of him. He just walks through the middle of them. He don't let them bother him. We know his purpose. He went his way. Now, there's the next story in the chronological order of this story. Lord willing, next Sunday, if my notes are right, will be in John 5, that man at the pool of Bethesda. I know, and you got to remember, the gospel writers didn't write necessarily in chronological order. They wrote as the Lord inspired them to write, the Spirit inspired them. But here's the point I want to make this morning. In John 5, verse number 1, the Bible says, after this, there was a feast of the Jews. Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now watch this now. When this crowd didn't want him, you know what he did? He went where somebody did want him. There was a man laying by a pool. We're going to look at him next week, Lord willing. Man, if I've got my calendar right. There's a man laying by a pool that needed some help. I'd hate to know that God walked by me because I didn't want him. And we talk about that in the context of lost people, but I'm talking about even church. I don't know about you. I want Jesus in our church. Don't you? Amen. Let's come pray and ask him for that this morning. Let's stand together. I appreciate your attention. God spoke in your heart this morning.